another exciting edition of Off the Hook.
Come on. It's that button over there.
So I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving. Now I can't make a call. Which could be as much worse. But if I could, it would only be bombs of a bed.
It is camping season here at Off the Hook, and we have a bunch of campers.
Oh,
but first, let me tell you who's in the studio with me today. This is Rob T. Firefly, by the way, here with you, and I'm joined by Voltaire, not camping, Dot Rit.
Hello.
Lexicon is here.
Hello.
And Jim is here.
Hi.
And who have we got on the line?
Oh, boy. Well, okay. you kind of can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, yeah, you got us all by surprise here. Well, it's Emmanuel. Here I am at the CCC camp in Germany. Joined tonight by we've got so many people here. Let's Bicycle Mark over there.
Hello,
Bernie S.
Bernie S. in Eastern Germany.
Johannes from Austria.
Grüß Gott.
Bobson from Bulgaria.
Good evening from Northern Germany.
Wow, you always call up, either off the wall or off the hook, but now you're here live in the studio in Germany.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
Cool. And that looks like Kyle all the way over there.
Hi, everybody.
All right. I forgot your name.
Attila.
Attila. How can I forget that name? Attila.
Yeah, I don't know.
From where?
Netherlands.
From the Netherlands. Attila from the Netherlands. And we've got Junes. Do you have a microphone, Junes?
Well, I'll borrow this one.
Okay.
I'm not in a car this week.
I can't see who you're borrowing it from, unfortunately. Oh, there's Mike. Okay.
Hello.
How you doing, Mike? Greg Newby.
Hey, what's up?
Mitch Altman.
Hello.
Me again, and Red Hack here.
Hello.
Does that mic work? You have a clip-on mic of some sort.
Hello.
You're not borrowing my mic. That's not fair. Okay, so we're all here, and there's more people coming supposedly. We're actually broadcasting to the camp right now. Actually, you know, people listening in the camp, can we have the entire camp give a big cheer at once? Is that possible, do you think?
Do a countdown.
Well, can someone open the door and see if anybody... And I mean, just, you know, shout as loud as you possibly can. Like someone is killing you. When we count down to 3, 2, 1, just, you know, mayhem, bloody murder. Like you're going to get some kind of million-dollar prize for shouting. Do we have a microphone?
There are riots already.
Okay, 3, 2, 1...
Well, that was a letdown.
I don't think anybody's listening on the cam.
It's probably a really all out partying right now.
Yeah.
It's a really busy night.
No screams.
Thousands of people from around the world out here.
Yeah. All right, people need to tune to 98.6. Is that
92.6.
I'm sorry, 92.6. Why do I keep getting that wrong?
That's not for our listeners in New York. That's
no, just to hear.
Obviously not. Yeah, you'll get a staticky signal if you try that in New York. But here in the camp, we have a signal. How powerful, Nakun? I should introduce you to
solid
you're the
five.
You're the actual board operator here.
Yeah,
you've been
yeah.
on the radio in New York as well when you're traveling yeah. through. So tell us something about this radio station that you have running here.
Ooh, well, I can talk for hours. What do you want to know?
Well, we only have 1 hour.
Okay, I'll try to be brief. We've got a transmitter on the FM you mentioned, 92.6. And, we've got an internet stream going. We've got about 12 mics, which are all, more than all in use. And we've got lots of gear and blinking lights to make it all sound good.
How powerful is the station?
I think we're doing 12 watts forward and reflection of so that about 8 watts now, I think. We started at 9, but somehow it's dropping, so we need to tune things.
Somehow it's dropping?
it's electronics. It's alive.
Uh-huh. Back in New York, is there anything you guys want to ask us before we start? We have all kinds of things to tell you about, but if there are any specific questions, we'd like to address them right away.
Where are you guys?
Oh, where are we? That's a good question. Kyle, where are we? Do you have any idea?
Yes, we're in Fino, or Finofurt, in the... what region would you describe this here in Germany?
Brandenburg.
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 Wait, who said that with the rolling R?
Of course, me.
Who else?
Say it again.
Brandenburg.
Wow, that's great.
And it's a former Soviet air base. That's the cool shit.
Yes. Yeah.
The cool stuff.
Yes, definitely. So anyway, so we basically are here on this camp. This is the second time this camp has taken place. And on this particular area, and does somebody want to describe the basic scenery as to what you see when you're walking around?
It's kind of a dump, actually. Literally speaking, there's a bunch of old military equipment that's been left here to be looked at and to gradually fall into oblivion.
Now, but when you say dump of military equipment, you don't mean like they left their artillery behind. And
a depot.
Like that.
A depot. There's simulated artillery. I don't know if anyone's seen that. There's actually missiles, like cardboard missiles, in some of the back rooms around here. They look kind of cool.
Well, I saw a truck-mounted missile, which didn't look like cardboard to me.
Some of it's real and some of it is sort of simulated. It's from various periods, but it's uglier than crap.
But I think what's kind of neat is that people here have actually made it look nicer.
They've
put lights on it. They've projected things on various old pieces of airplane and helicopter machinery, and it looks nice, even though yes,
And there's even gorilla gorilla knitting.
What happened to your voice, Mitch?
Oh man, I've been workshopping all day. It's only day
such
one
a smooth
and
voice,
already
but it sounds
losing my voice.
What happened? You've been talking a lot, giving a lot of instructions on how to build things.
The usual hardware hacking, except this time it's a hardware hacking tent, and it's the biggest tent.
Mitch, this is the first day of a 5-day event. What are you going to be like in the next 4 days?
Well, someone should probably get a mop and like sweep me up.
Uh huh.
So besides being an airport, a former Soviet airport, this site is actually run as sort of a museum, and they're kind enough to allow an event like this to take place. And the lighting and the old aircraft and things that sort of look like junk at first glance, they're actually part of what I guess is their collection, and they do a bit to display them and show it off. And I think the art event people here, as Red Hacked was indicating, have done a great job illuminating it, and it just really adds the ambiance. Oh. And here we are on the first full day, and things are really in swing, and people are actually really starting to enjoy themselves. I think we had a day of talks, and people are settled in, and I think people are sort of not arriving so much as enjoying themselves.
And the weather's great.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Those of us who didn't bring jackets with us might argue, because all of a sudden it's in the 50s and 60s, and I wasn't expecting that, because I came from Las Vegas and then New York, both of which were pretty hot, and I was expecting Germany to be the same, but it wasn't.
I'm loving the weather right now.
You're from Bulgaria. It's probably a lot hotter there than it is here.
Yeah, on Monday in Sofia it was 33 Celsius, which is in the mid-90s of Fahrenheit.
Yeah, it's
and
up there.
And it was not... I wasn't happy with it, and on Tuesday when we landed on Tegel, they told us it's 16 Celsius outside, and I was so happy still being on the plane with the weather. I was, and so, I'm enjoying the weather. It got a bit cold last night, and I didn't have the clothes that I bought today.
And there's some drizzle; it rains a little bit, but that's part of the experience, and we're all having a great time.
Yeah, it's not. It's a drizzle. It's not raining.
So the Chaos Communication Camp is something that takes place every 4 years in Germany, and on the alternate every 4 years there's a camp that takes place in Holland. But this particular one, this is the fourth one? The first one was in 1999, so this will be the fourth one. And I think we have a total of about 3,500 people here. It's sold out, so they stopped selling tickets to it and limited it to 3,500 people. And what we see right now, there's lights everywhere, displays, music, food of all sorts being served in various tents and villages. What are some of the villages that we have here?
Nationalities, a lot of nationalities. There's French, Italian, German, of course, Dutch, Finnish. Yeah, a lot of nationality villages, and then some hobby villages. So I saw an RFID tent, for example.
And there's an American village too. In fact, Nick Farr just ducked his head in here a moment. I don't know if he's going to come back in, but if he does, he can describe that whole hackers on a plane thing that got hackers from America over here. And I think they even flew a plane, prop plane, over to the airport. This is part of it. This is an airport. This used to be a Soviet-run airport, and they still have a runway.
Mitch was on that plane. He can describe it.
You were on the plane. Tell us what
that
was like.
Fantastic. It was a 1968 Soviet aircraft that was decommissioned when the
an Antonov A2, I believe.
Yeah, and the person who bought it when the wall came down, and he's been flying it ever since. It used to be a training thing for people jumping out with parachutes.
It's a biplane.
He's been maintaining it ever since too, not just flying.
Yeah,
That's an important part.
Yeah, and he's really good at it. And while he was flying us back, he messed around with us a little bit. But it was a lot of fun. That thing just floats. It's an amazing vehicle.
And it's not bumpy at all.
Well, I wouldn't say that. It was very bumpy. I've been motion sick twice in my life, and on the way back on the plane was the second time.
It's been very windy, though.
It has an excuse. It has been.
And we shouldn't forget, because we haven't mentioned that yet, there's a general theme for the camp, and the theme is space. So today there was the big keynote by Jens and Nick, and they were talking about...
Lars,
Jens, and Nick. Yes, yeah, of course, yeah. And they were talking about their vision, their utopia of an upcoming hackerspace program, maybe. Some of you want to talk about that a bit.
What would a hacker space program be like exactly? Well, here's the man himself. Nick Farr just walked in.
It would have great lighting. That's for sure.
Yeah, maybe we can get Nick to articulate the three themes of the space program proposal. And I think while he's finding a microphone, the essence of this is that 4 years ago there was a challenge to do hacker spaces. That was successful. So the next challenge is to put us into space, and we have a little time to do that. Do you want to work through the three steps,
Nick? Sure.
Okay, that mic's not on, I don't think. Is it? You look like a lounge singer. A wireless mic, okay, expecting to break out this song anytime.
I'm leaning over the desk right now. Just to clarify, it's not... it's not me putting people in space. It's hackers putting themselves in space and collaborating and getting together and developing the technologies and trying things that governments and corporations may not have... fully explored because they didn't meet their aims. I think that applying the hacker ethic and applying all the wonderful knowledge and experience and passion that you see in hackerspaces, it's absolutely possible that we can put a satellite-based, as uncensorable as possible internet up by the next camp in 4 years. And that's the first phase. Phase one is building a satellite-based internet network that's totally open and free and accessible to anybody, you know, with a cloth satellite dish, and especially as we've seen governments cut off the internet, you know, in Egypt and Syria, and the long time censorship in China, and a lot of the scary laws that they're passing, you know, here in Germany, and to a lesser extent in the United States. We can see the terrestrial based internets are very, very censorable.
We've seen CubeSats and such go up already as hobby projects and school projects, so it's very possible to get a essentially hacker-based satellite into the sky.
Hacker-based satellite. We're really at that stage in human development. That's amazing. I'm thrilled.
And, I mean, Bernie should talk about that, because there is a history that we can tap into with ham radio, I think, or isn't it?
I pointed out at Nick's talk earlier today, yesterday. Or today?
Today.
It's, it's a time warp. The ham radio community for literally the past three decades or so have launched several amateur satellites, voice and data satellites, without having to pay any money for a launch vehicle, just by using their contacts with government and commercial satellite launchers to use their satellites, which are smaller, the amateur satellites, which are smaller, as ballast weight. Which is necessary. You can use dead weight, or you can use a nonprofit satellite. I'm hoping that the hacker community can coordinate with cross over with the amateur radio community and learn from what they have in getting several of their satellites into space. I think Nick's idea to as a challenge, like a JFK kind of challenge, we will be in space by a certain year, is a good one. And I think there's a lot that the hacker community can learn from the amateur radio community in succeeding in that realm.
So there are 3 points to the story, I think. So I want to make sure we hear the other two.
Yeah, no, the two other phases, at least as I see it happening, and that's an important distinction, is that I see this not as me saying, oh, we should do this, but I see this as something that's already in progress in hacker spaces. And I think that by just using this camp, focusing on the theme of Project Flow Control and collaborating and talking about it and actually believing it to be possible, it will happen, and it will happen of its own, and it will happen in ways that are wonderful and unimaginable, just like the Hackerspaces movement 4 years after the last CCC camp is wonderful and expansive and incredible in ways we couldn't have even imagined. You know, my only goal was showing people Hackerspaces and letting it go from there, and it took off in an incredible way, and I think the exact same thing is happening with the space program. The second phase that I proposed in the keynote this morning was putting a hacker in orbit. I think it's absolutely possible, and once we develop the technologies to put payloads into orbit, such as satellites, it's just a little bit more technology to put an actual hacker into orbit. And I think the important thing there to realize is that in the history of space exploration as humans, so much of putting a first person in orbit was based around nationalistic and quasi-militaristic goals. And I think the beauty of putting a hacker into space is that it would be the finest, most brilliant, most intelligent people representing humanity as a whole in achieving a goal like this outside of the realm of a government or a militaristic aim.
Yes, but hackers love to tinker with things. And do you really want a hacker going up into space and saying, what does this button do? And,
there'd be no buttons.
You know, I mean, yeah, I'd like to know what the button does too, but are hackers the best people?
Well, I think we can hope the hacker we send out would like to be coming back, and that's something also we need to work at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's the best bet we can have. Because if we send someone out who's not looking into coming back, that might be a problem.
Now, I also want to ask Nick. You were at the CCC camp 4 years ago, and I'd like you to basically try to remember that and compare it to. It was on the same exact place. It's the first time that's ever happened, where the camp has been on the same grounds. Do you see any noticeable difference?
Kind of a yes and no sort of question. Is this okay? Oh, great. There I am. Yes, I do notice a difference in that we've, as a community, have made an incredible amount of progress over the past 4 years. I mean, just look at the, you know, our neighbors, the Hartent across the way, and that's an incredibly beautiful installation. I'm inspired by the installation that was at Hart 2 years ago. But at the same time, I see a lot of the passion, the creativity, the excitement of camp is just the same as it was 4 years ago, only there's a little bit more of it because we have a few more people here. You know, I did Hackers on a Plane 4 years ago, and I did Hackers on a Plane here, and now I'm familiar with the territory. I've been to Europe a little bit more, and it's, well, there are still occasional logistical things. I think everything's just getting better, but all of the good parts remain the same.
Tell us about the Hackers on a Plane, the basic theory behind all that.
The basic theory behind it was encouraging actual face-to-face communication and interaction between hackers all around the world. And I think a lot of the things that we think we can accomplish in IRC or that we think we can accomplish in you know, chats or internet things just can't replace actual face-to-face communication. The goal of Hackers on a Plane was to get hackers from all over the world talking to each other, meeting with each other, going to each other's spaces and physically working on and enjoying projects and collaborating in ways that wouldn't be possible outside of a real face-to-face interaction, and also to experience other cultures and to look and see how hackers do things, you know, in other countries, in other ways, in other cultures, and bring all the best of that back home with you. And at the same time, travel with a group, because traveling in a, you know, group of hackers is, I think, much more fun and a much more rewarding experience than traveling on your own.
All right. Now, those of us who listen to the show, Ask Bernie, maybe you know this. It was a CCC camp, not maybe 4 years or 8 years ago, where we were talking for a good 20, 25 minutes without realizing that we were actually off the air and interviewing people all over the place. Was that 4 years ago or 8 years ago?
I think it was eight years ago. Yeah, we were a conference called in. We had multiple extensions on the decked cordless phone system, I think, there at that conference. Or maybe it was mobile phones. But in any case, the lead connection in that conference, they hung up their phone, and we didn't realize we were off the air for like the better part of half an hour.
Now, do you think that might be happening now, where we're talking?
No, and this is a much better situation. We have a fantastic studio here. From what's the name of the radio station here?
That's Binary Voice.
That Binary Voice radio station.
And
here,
you can listen to it. How do you listen to it? Those of us who want to listen after the show is over, you can still listen to Binary Voice.
Yeah, we are broadcasting through the Signal Hackerspace radio infrastructure. So you go to signal.hackerspaces.org, and it explains itself there.
Is there a URL we could give our listeners on the air?
Well, he just did.
Signals. Yeah, that's
hackerspace.org.
But
But where would they find the streaming audio though?
Oh, it's a subdomain. It's signal.hackerspaces.org.
Excellent.
All right. Now, so let's
we have like 12 microphones around the table here.
Let's just verify that we are still on the air. So now, New York City, are you there?
You may be all right down there. I don't know what I'm doing up here, so we might have been off the air for...
at least you and I are talking, and the people in the room here are talking, and that's pretty
that's
cool.
That's all there.
Yeah.
What's the third proposal for the Hackers in Space?
Oh, yes, I never finished that. So after putting a hacker in orbit, which would be the second phase, third phase is hacker on the moon. And I...
Hang on, is it raining on us right now?
That static sound is rain.
Can we just be quiet for a second? I want people to hear this. I don't know if you can hear over the phone. Did you guys hear that? Are you guys able to hear that in New York?
We're in a tent, people. We're in a tent with 12 microphones under a nice tent.
It's really loud.
I have to say, I like the rain way better than Burning Man, like this alkaloid crazy dust stuff. Uh-huh. So I'm really fine with rain and greenness and grass, please.
Well, Nick, we're sorry to interrupt, but it's really nature's fault, not ours.
Oh, no, that's all right.
Go ahead.
I think the only thing I had to add to that was I firmly believe that we can put a hacker on the moon in the next 23 years.
Well, I sure hope so. And a lot of people I know want to put hackers on the moon a lot sooner than that. But we're just going to have to wait and be patient.
Certain hackers.
Uh-huh.
So there's one thing we should mention is people in New York and around the world might be listening to this broadcast, or they might catch it on the internet later. And it's not too late to contribute ideas to this space plan. There's a wiki and there's a whole bunch of subset topics that people can contribute their expertise to.
Yes, that's right.
I already have a contribution for a possible fourth stage. Hacker space on the moon.
Oh, have you thought of that, Nick?
Half of the century.
What would you call it? It's got to be a clever name.
It's going to need a stamp.
It's going to need a stamp, yes. Yeah, definitely.
International Hacker Space Station.
Well, we have these
on the moon.
Passports. We have these passports now, these diplomatic space passports, I guess, to get us in and out of the transfer station and through the HSA, that's the Hacker Security Association security system.
You still have to go through the metal detectors.
Mitch Altman put together these great hackerspace passports. Mitch, can you talk a little bit about these diplomatic passports I've been seeing around the conference?
Yeah, I made 2,600 diplomatic passports, hackerspace passports. They are patterned after the United States passport, but instead of welcoming people at your border with fingerprints and a photograph, it actually encourages people to cross borders. So it's not that you need one of these to go to a hackerspace, but just to encourage people to travel around and visit hackerspaces as much as they can. And if every hackerspace has their own stamp, then people can show off all the stamps in their hackerspace passport. Like, I've only been here a couple days where people have been stamping my passport, and it's already got two pages full.
Yeah, and not unlike when you travel abroad to certain countries, I already had a hard time from the guy running the stamp at the Austrian tent.
Now, where can you get your...
He took a moment before he stamped my passport and asked me why I went to other hacker spaces and what I was doing there.
Wow. What else have we seen at the camp? Any other...
I think Kyle has a great overview of... he got here several days ago, didn't you, Kyle? And you saw the infrastructure of this amazing camp being built from the ground up?
Yes, I arrived on Friday because I wanted to volunteer with the build-up specifically. I did that at HAR, which was my first European camp. hacker camp. And so I arrived. I found a camping area in the forest near the Angels. And if you haven't already guessed, the Angels are the volunteers at these kinds of events. It happens at Congress as well as the camp. And so we camp together, and we're responsible for making everyone's time awesome and for making everything here work. And we basically are the go-to people to make it all appear the way it does now.
There are things that you would not believe that Angels have to do. And it's not just setting up AV and setting up networks and things like that. What are some of the tasks that you've had to undertake in the last few days?
Yeah, so I got here and there were tents and some basic lights and all of the data closets, which I'll get to in a minute, and most of the facilities were here. There was a large shower that got brought in afterwards, and just basic stuff like that. All the stuff that you really need to make something like this sanitary, safe, and healthy. When I got here, most of the infrastructure was in for the network, but not all of it, and they needed a lot of help digging, because they had rigged up a trench digging device that was basically being dragged behind a car, as far as I know, or something like that. I don't know. Maybe Attila, you can speak a little bit more about that. But it broke, and so we had to shovel. And so I did a lot of ditch digging.
So you were digging ditches for a hacker conference. People don't think that that's a part of the hacker conference, is digging ditches.
Yeah, but it's very important, because the infrastructure here is pretty substantial. And so there's a lot of optics and really sensitive stuff that's buried underground, and it's best that it's buried, because a lot of people are partying and having fun, and they don't have to think about it. The network's just there, and it works quite well.
Attila, do you have anything to add to how the network was built?
Well, I can't tell anything about the digging thing. I wasn't here then. I let Angels do the work for me. Well, I can answer any specific questions you have. Explaining the network in 5 minutes is, yeah.
Absolutely. So, what is the uplink? How are we getting connectivity to the internet? How many data closets are there?
Well, we have
and
two
what
fiber.
What do the data closets look like?
We have 2 gigabits up to the rest of the world. And the data enclose, so they call them, we have 30, but 3 were used before we can put locks on them.
Wait, explain what the dot enclosures are.
Yes, please.
Okay, you have the mobile toilets they use for building and such, and we order them empty with no cleaning stuff in them. And, well, we put the switches and stuff in there so they are dry and we can protect the fibers and all.
And for the Americans in the audience, that's porta-potties.
Okay, so...
And you're saying they actually got used before you got a chance to...
Yeah.
Okay, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Wow. So now the network is up now, and it's running smoothly, and no major problems?
Well, we had a big outage about an hour ago, but that seems to be fixed. So luckily just before the radio transmission.
Yeah, that would have affected it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Probably. Wow. Okay.
You're not safe. You're not safe yet. I mean, the power tends to cut as well sometimes.
Uh-huh. It's all about we're building a city here, mm-hmm. and it's an incredible thing that there was just a campground, and then you guys came in with the generators and the wire and the ditch digging equipment and all that, and there's a city built here. There are places selling all kinds of goods, all kinds of food and things like that, and there's people from all over the world sharing information and just sort of hanging out and playing music, and all this happened just in a week.
We're building an ISP grade network in 4 or 5 days, and
for thousands of people in tents.
Yeah, really. It's something. Has there been much media attention?
I don't know. The network specific, or?
Well, as you walk around, I notice that you have a lot of tents. You have a lot of vehicles, you know, sort of camper vehicles, and you see power everywhere, and you see internet cables running into the vehicles, and of course there's ubiquitous wireless as well. So how many megawatts of power do you have on the camp right now?
I have no idea. I'm not from the power team. So.
Quite a few. So it's quite a sight to behold. You know, people used to dream of having internet to their home, and now of course you have it to your tent here in Germany.
Emmanuel, I wanted to know how we're connected to New York.
I'm damned if I know. who set this up, and how are we actually talking to the people?
It looks like
we think we're talking to.
Well, actually, it's a bit. We're using Skype, to call to New York, and that goes into our main mixing desk, to which also the microphones, all 12, 40 now go. And that all get mixed together and sent back to New York.
Unless you're saying Skype out, it's not Skype to Skype?
No, we're doing Skype to a landline here.
Right, so we're calling into a actual telephone line in the WBAI studios.
Indeed, yeah. But I think it only becomes actual telephone line very close to the studios.
Right,
I guess.
How do we sound in New York, guys?
You sound all right.
Do we sound like we're just a regular phone call? Do we sound a little bit better than, say, Bernie S. does when he calls in every week?
I hope so.
I think you sound a little bit better than Bernie S. from Philadelphia on his cell phone. That's
How do you good. Feel about that, Bernie S., live in the studio here?
I'm glad it sounds better than that.
Bernie, I can lend you a cell phone if you want to go stand outside.
I don't want to subject your listeners to too much of that.
Speaking of standing outside, now that the rain has abated a bit, we were thinking of sending...